It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for Feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning. Welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, and I'm joined here today by three very special guests who are going to help us recognize federal employees, recognizing federal employees for the great public service that they do. And this is a very special time to be doing this because, as we all know, and as we did this show last year, federal employees were very much under attack. And those attacks continue, including the recent media attacks, where unfortunately a few federal employees have done some things they shouldn't do, and it seems as if the entire federal workforce is being tarred and feathered. And so I want federal employees everywhere to know that there are people who appreciate what they do. There are people who believe that federal service, public service, is important, and that the great vast majority, the overwhelming majority of federal employees, contribute greatly to the American public. So to help us with this, I welcome Kirk Harper, chair of the Public Employees Roundtable. Kirk, welcome to Fed Talk. All right, Kirk is here, but we're having a technical difficulty because he is on the telephone. I'd also welcome Jim Seymour, who's the Director of Program and Events for the Partnership for Public Service. Jim, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be here today.
And also Stuart Heiser, who is the Director of Communications and Public Affairs at the National Association of Schools of Public Affairs and Administration. Stuart, welcome to Fed Talk.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here. Good morning.
All right, and I'm sure we'll have Kirk Harper in here in just a second. And just a reminder while we're waiting for Kirk that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. For more information on GEICO, go to geico.com. So if you would like to help us say something good about federal employees in these tough times, please give us a call. Our toll-free number is 1-877-936-9333, or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. So I was reading, Jim, this morning in the Washington Post about how federal employees don't want to wear their agency badges outside the office in the public because they're almost embarrassed to be seen as a federal employee. I don't think we've ever had that before. Can you comment on that and talk a little bit about, you know, what the Partnership for Public Service's reaction to that is?
Yes, and I think you and I have talked about this a little before. The way I like to boil down Public Service Recognition Week, if you think about in our country the past 20, 30 years, there's been a culture shift in terms of the respect that our service members in uniform receive. You know, there's open debate about the role of the military and where they should be fighting for our freedoms across the world. But, you know, no one will speak ill of an individual service member, and they'll go out of their way to show respect and appreciation for them. And really stand by that level of respect and appreciation is deserved and ought to be shown to our civil servants as well. And so for them to, you know, face ridicule just by wearing their badge that they go to work every day when they've dedicated their lives and their careers to serving the needs of citizens in our country, they really deserve better.
Well, Jim, tell me a little bit about the Partnership for Public Service, what you all do. You were telling me before the show that you've actually been there 9 years now, and the Partnership for Public Service hasn't been around forever. I still think of it as the new kid on the block, but it has been around, and in the short time it's been an organization, it's made quite a difference.
Certainly. The partnership recently, in last year, celebrated our 10th year anniversary, and it's been a great opportunity to be a part of that organization. Our mission is really to help revitalize our federal civil service. We want to do that by inspiring the new generation of public servants, whether they're recently out of college, they've been in careers and are considering a mid-career shift, or perhaps are even in their retirement age, they still feel like they want to contribute and make a difference to our country. So we want to help inspire those people into government and help smooth the process for them to find those right opportunities so that we can effectively recruit and hire them into government. The other way we do revitalize government service is by helping transform the way government does work, help transform the way it does business. We want to inspire, provide leadership training for our senior executives so that they're effectively motivating and managing their employees to deliver vital services. They're obviously expected to do a lot and held to a very high level of accountability. We want to make sure they have the tools and resources and training to be able to effectively do their jobs.
I can talk a little bit about the Public Employees Roundtable because I happen to be vice chair along with Kirk and served on it for many years. Kirk has served on it for a lot more years than I have. But Public Employees Roundtable is an organization of about 30 or other organizations that care about public service. It got together in 1982 in response to Ronald Reagan's statement at his inaugural address that government is the problem, to make sure that as people thought about government being the problem, that they did not take it out on public employees, and particularly there was a focus on federal employees at that time. Over the years, more and more was done to promote public service and to recognize the contributions of public employees, including what for many years was a large, large event in the second week of May on the National Mall, highlighting just what agencies have been able to do. Unfortunately, in large part because of budget cuts that everyone and any federal employees who are listening to us knows that these budget cuts are very real and drastic, despite what we read in the newspapers that it's not. And because of those budget cuts, that mall event is no longer able to take place. But there's still quite a bit that occurs, and we're going to talk about some of those events, not just in Washington, but around the nation, where public employees are recognized and appreciated. And again, the theme of today's show is to make sure that our listeners understand and know that their public service is appreciated. There are organizations, there are groups that do appreciate that, and we're trying to get the word out to the American public that what they're reading in the newspapers isn't an aberration by a small group, and shouldn't result in anything being attributed to the federal workforce as a whole. So, Jim, tell us a little bit about what the Partnership for Public Service is doing. Right now, that's where the Public Employees Roundtable is housed, at the partnership. Tell us a little bit about how the Public Employees Roundtable is a part of the Partnership for Public Service.
Certainly. The Public Employees Roundtable really operates as a coalition of good government organizations, working with other organizations like the Senior Executives Association, Federal Managers Association, and about 30 others, as you mentioned, and really working to pull together each year to help organize different events and activities around Public Service Recognition Week. Some of the key goals of the program are to connect and educate citizens nationwide to the work of their government. We want to, as you've talked about, improve the perception and morale of federal employees and other public servants. And as I mentioned earlier, help to inspire new generations of public servants. And certainly with the economy and the many times when we see citizens and the media and politicians speaking out against federal employees and going out of their way to actually denigrate our nation's public servants, we see this as an opportunity to double down our efforts, make sure that we're using these activities and events as part of Public Service Recognition Week as opportunities to really tell the stories of what's happening good in government. We want to make sure that while things are being done to vet out fraud and mismanagement, that we're also showing the excellent work by employees at GSA to make sure that our government buildings are green.
There's a lot of good employees at GSA.
Absolutely. There's more than 12,000 employees at GSA, and we know that the vast majority of them are doing wonderful things to save taxpayer dollars, to reduce energy consumption by the use of our federal facilities so that they're improving our countries in those way.
And I still believe that the Secret Service is one of the most efficient, best-run agencies with some of the best employees around, despite what happened this past weekend.
Yeah, I think with the various scandals that have come out, first with GSA and then the Secret Service, and also even with the troops in Afghanistan, you see small groups of people that unfortunately are shedding a black eye on the public service more broadly. I think with anything involving the military, you've got, appropriately recognizing the failure of a few, but you're still rallying behind the greater team and lifting them up, building them up so that mistakes are not repeated. With the federal workforce, you see a greater, shining a negative light on all the federal workforce, and that's something we need to turn around to say, you know, there's still amazing work being done in these federal agencies, and we need to appreciate that effort.
And hopefully we will get that message out during Public Service Recognition Week, which, Jim, is when?
Is May 6th through 12, 2012.
All right. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm talking about Public Service Recognition Week with Jim Seymour for the Partnership for Public Service. When we come back, we'll hear from Stuart Heiser of the National Association of Schools of Public Affairs and Administration, and hopefully we'll have our technical glitch fixed and Kirk Harper will be able to join us. We'll be right back.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around a mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is Geico anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Bill Bransford, and today we're, I think, now joined by Kirk Harper, chair of the Public Employees Roundtable. Kirk, are you there?
Good morning, Bill.
Well, it's so good to have you on our show, Kirk, and I'm sorry for the technical glitch. Jim Seymour for the Partnership for Public Service and Stuart Heiser, the National Association of Schools of Public Affairs and Administration. Kirk, were you able to hear us during the first part of the show?
No, I couldn't, Bill.
Okay, well, we were talking about all that's going on in the media and how federal employees are being bashed. Not, you know, last year we were talking about federal employees being bashed by members of Congress, and this year it's the media as a result of the efforts of a few federal employees, or the activities of a few, how it seems to be spilling over to the federal workforce as a whole, given the Washington Post article this morning about how federal employees are taking their badges off as soon as they leave their building because they don't want members of the public to associate themselves with being a federal employee. I'd like to know, Kirk, you know, you've been around the Public Employees Roundtable for a long time and have dedicated a lot of your time and energy to promoting public service. What is your reaction to the current climate?
Well, it's a very sad time for public employees. The actions of a few people, unfortunately, reverberates across the entire public workforce. And there always will be people who bend the rules and people who break the rules. And
there always have been. There always will be. That's true, Kirk.
I'm sorry to say that, but it's true in the private sector as well as the public sector. And it's an unfortunate thing that it happens and it gets so much publicity. But overall, it just makes me sad.
So one of the things that Jim and I were talking about during the first part of the show is how important Public Service Recognition Week is this year to send a message out that public service is appreciated, public servants are appreciated, and are being recognized for the great work that the overwhelming majority of them do. Can you tell me a little bit about the Public Employees Roundtable, Kirk? I talked a little bit about it during the first part of the show, but from your perspective as the longtime chair and as a longtime participant in Public Employees Roundtable and Public Service Recognition Week?
Well, the Public Employees Roundtable is a coalition of 20 public service-oriented organizations that celebrates public service at all levels and has three major goals: to connect citizens with their government, to improve the perception of public employees at all levels, and to inspire people to public service careers. And for a long time now, since the founding of the organization in 1982 and its growth and the beginning of major events in 1985 until now, Public Employees Roundtable has coordinated a series of activities during Public Service Recognition Week to try to achieve these goals. And the activities are all across the country and in some countries overseas where there are military personnel and foreign service posts that choose to celebrate. So we're very pleased with the effort that's grown over the years, and we think overall it has some impact on countering the bad activities of the 1% of people who misbehave.
It's probably even less than 1%. Stuart Heiser, who is from the National Association of Schools of Public Affairs and Administration, I'd like to have you talk a little bit about what your organization is doing. First, tell us about NASPA. It goes by NASPA. What does NASPA do, and what is it all about?
Sure. Well, NASPA is a nonprofit membership association of graduate programs in public administration, public policy, and public affairs. Been around for about 40 years. We currently have around 280 members. Most of the schools are in the U.S., but we also have members around the world. We are the global standard in public service education. We have a twofold mission. The first is working to ensure excellence in education and training for public service and promoting the ideal of public service itself. Some of the things we do, we support deans and program directors and faculty at our member schools to continually improve public service education in public affairs and public policy. We educate prospective students, both in the U.S. and internationally, about the different degrees that are available in the field, the schools that offer the degrees, as well as various career paths. And we're also the specialized accreditor in the U.S. of master's degrees in these fields, in public administration, public policy, and public affairs.
So obviously somebody that gets a degree like that might consider the federal government as a place of employment.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in the Washington area, a number of our local schools send half, even the majority of their students to federal government positions.
So tell me a little bit, Stuart, about, there's a Presidential Management Fellow program. There used to be the Federal Career Intern program. The government's reforming its hiring. Has NASPA had a role in that?
Absolutely. We've been very involved in federal hiring reform for several years. In fact, it was actually a president of NASPA who then went into the then Civil Service Commission to start what was then the Presidential Management Internship Program, the PMI, which is now the PMF. So we've been involved for years. One of our mission is to make sure that graduates of our schools have high-quality public service jobs, and brings us to the current Pathways programs. The president signed an executive order in December 2010 creating a new set of federal hiring programs just for students and recent graduates called the Pathways programs.
And I know the partnership's quite concerned about, are interested in the Pathways program too, Jim, I think.
Yes, we too, been working with NASPA a lot on making sure that agencies learning and working together on how to effectively implement that program.
And I must be honest with both of you, Jim and Stuart, I'm still confused about what Pathways means, how it's going to work. I think we've got some final regulations about to come out. Is that right?
Well, there are three components of the Pathways programs. First is there are two new government-wide programs. There's going to be an internship program, which students from all levels of education, high school through PhD, will be eligible for. There will be a government-wide recent graduates programs. And similar to internship, what this will do is replace all the various separate agency internship and fellowship programs that were in existence. As you mentioned, the FCIP, Federal Career Intern Program, has been eliminated. While not directly replacing it, will fill the role in because there's a need for specialized programs to bring in students and recent graduates who really don't do very well through the usual hiring process in USA Jobs. The third component of Pathways is the Presidential Management Fellowship program, which has existed as the government's premier leadership recruitment and talent development program for recent graduates of graduate school. So all these three programs together are called the Pathways. There are draft regulations that were issued last summer and were put by the Office of Personnel Management, OPM, were put out for public comment for 60 days. And the final regulations are expected out really any day now, sometime around May 1st.
And you're hoping they come out before Public Service Recognition Week?
Well, the timing would be great if, you know, either before or during. It's still well timed as another way of highlighting the important role of public servants.
So tell me what NASPA does for Public Service Recognition Week and why you're interested in it.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, it's part of our mission to promote the ideal of public service. Students come to our programs because they really want to change the world, and they want to acquire the advanced skills and knowledge that they'll need to be able to do that. And throughout our membership, many students, and as I said, especially in the local schools, most graduates pursue careers in government, really at all levels, local, state, regional, federal. And as I mentioned, we've long been active in promoting federal hiring reform to ensure that there are quality jobs for our school's graduates. And because so many of our graduates go into public service, we've long been a member of the Public Employees Roundtable and have actively supported Public Service Recognition Week. We're involved to recognize the contributions of those who are really living the mission of public service, both graduates of our schools and everyone. And as you mentioned, especially in the current climate, it's really critical to recognize just how much good work there is being done.
And how many good opportunities there are for a career for a new college graduate.
Right, absolutely. The federal government is still hiring. While there is currently a downturn in hiring at the local and state level, there are still positions, especially with calls for smaller government. You need people with advanced skills who can do budget analysis, for example, and fiscal management, and really be able to do more with less.
So, Stuart, tell me what you're doing this year for Public Service Recognition Week. Do you have anything special in mind?
Actually, we do this year. We are organizing an event at the George Washington University that is called the Salute to the Next Generation. It's going to be on Wednesday, May 2nd from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Trachtenberg School of Public Policy.
So it's gonna be a pre-PSRW, but we're going to highlight PSRW as part of it?
Absolutely.
Why is it so early?
Well, it's early because most of our member schools are in final examinations during the recognition week, and this event is, we really want students to be able to attend, so we're having it a little early, just a few days.
So what are you going to do?
Well, the purpose of the event is to recognize the next generation of public sector leaders, students, recent graduates, young public employees. And because these people, especially recent graduates who have just been trained with cutting-edge skills, are key to being able to solve our nation's increasingly complex challenges. What we're doing is we're going to have a forum that will highlight the Pathways programs as a really important way to attract our nation's best and brightest students and recent graduates to federal service. We are going to have a number of representatives from federal agencies, including some emerging young leaders, who will address the importance of Pathways, recent graduates programs specifically, and in general how important it is to bring in new quality talent. And for the event, we are inviting students and recent graduates, public employees, especially current and former PMFs and alumni of other federal fellowship programs, and really anybody who's interested in the future of federal workforce. And since it's right before finals, we'll have refreshments.
So when is it going to, what time will it be that day?
It is 4 to 6 p.m. on Wednesday, May 2nd.
And where? At GWU?
At the Trachtenberg School of Public Policy in the Jack Morton Auditorium, which is at 21st and H Street Northwest.
Okay, and I understand in addition to just telling people about Pathways and how to get a federal job, and you're also going to have some special opportunities for people to get some more direct advice from some people in the field?
Yes, we intend to have a number of, after the presentations, we're going to break down into small discussion groups discussing certain functional lines, cybersecurity, financial management and budgeting, to get together students who are interested in these fields with representatives from agencies who are doing the work. The goal of which is to discuss what kinds of skills, competencies would be required to create recent graduates programs in these areas.
Okay, we're going to have to stop here for a break. We'll continue our discussion about PSRW after a word from our sponsor. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
I'm Deborah Roth, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Our firm specializes in helping federal employees with legal issues concerning their jobs or benefits. For two decades, we have been representing federal employees in adverse action cases, employment discrimination complaints, inspector general and internal affairs investigations, security clearance issues, and other federal employment disputes. If you have a legal concern, don't wait. Call Shaw, Bransford & Roth at 202-463-8400 or visit our website at shawbransford.com.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Bill Bransford, and I'm joined by Kirk Harper, chair of the Public Employees Roundtable, Jim Seymour of the Partnership for Public Service, and Stuart Heiser from the National Association of Schools of Public Affairs and Administration. And we're talking about recognizing public employees, recognizing the service they provide and appreciation for that service. And in specifically, we're talking about Public Service Recognition Week. Kirk, I'd like to get back to you a little bit. Tell us some of the things that the Public Employees Roundtable has done over the years to promote public service, not just in Washington, but around the country.
Well, we our member organizations are very active in putting on events, particularly the ones that have local chapters. The American Society for Public Administration has a chapter on nearly every large American college campus, and many, many of them have Public Service Recognition Week events. The National Association of Active and Retired Federal Employees has chapters all across the country, and their chapters celebrate Public Service Recognition Week by writing letters to the editor of their local newspapers and having sponsoring lunches and working with schools and they celebrate as I said all across the country. You've probably talked. I was unable to hear the first part of the program, but you probably talked about some of the events that are taking place this week.
We actually haven't gotten to them. We're hoping we'll cover those and some of the things taking place this year. And you know, obviously, Jim can talk about that, what the partnership's doing, and there's a couple of other events. Well, why don't you start to go into that, Kirk?
Well, the main affiliate, the most active. Recent member of the roundtable has been the Partnership for Public Service, and we joined the Partnership for Public Service in 2009 as a partner, and they have two major events this week that Jim can talk about in more detail, but they have a town hall meeting. Where they invite cabinet officers and Cokie Roberts from National Public Radio and ABC News will be the moderator of that town hall. And they also announced the finalists for their Service to America medals, the week of Public Service Recognition Week. And that is a amazingly successful recognition program that the Partnership for Public Service has put on for since its creation. Jim, I'll have to help me with that.
You want to give a little more detail, Jim, on what the partnership's events this year?
Yeah, I'll join in with the details there. So for the Public Service Town Hall, that event is going to take place on the morning of Tuesday, May 8th. And we'll have that at the Partnership for Public Service in our new conference center. We're located in downtown D.C., pretty near Metro Center. And for all of these events, including the NASPA Salute to the Next Generation that Stuart mentioned, everyone can visit the Public Service Recognition Week website. They can either spell it out and then add .org, or they can simply type in psrw.org. And that will bring you to the main website, including a page linked for events, and that lists the Public Service Town Hall, the Salute to the Next Generation, the Service to America Medals, finalist announcement breakfast.
And tell us the Service to America finalist. Tell us a little bit about what that leads up to, because that's one of those events that when we go outside Public Service Recognition Week, also tends to highlight public employees in a very positive way.
Yes, indeed. And the Service to America Medals is one of my favorite programs. It's been around since the beginning of the partnership. And so this year we will be presenting the 11th annual Service to America Medals Awards. We call them the SAMMYs affectionately. And so on Wednesday, May 9th, we will announce this year's finalists for those awards. We received 400 nominations from across the federal government for employees that are serving in every agency at every level of the federal government. They might be serving anywhere around the world and are eligible for these awards. And the Service to America Medals are an opportunity to pay tribute to their significant contributions on behalf of the American people. And so on Wednesday, May 9th, we will introduce the 33 finalists for these awards. Then their stories will be presented to a prestigious selection committee. We involve members of Congress, presidents of universities, corporate CEOs, some foundation executives, representatives from the media. Sometimes we can even draw in folks from Hollywood and entertainment community. And so those folks have the fun and challenging tasks of reviewing those top 33 stories and picking our 9 award recipients that we recognize through a black tie gala in Washington, D.C. at the end of the year. We will have that on September 13th this year. And that, again, is a very festive event. We bring together cabinet secretaries and members of Congress to help present these awards. And you know, often you have the very high luminaries that are on stage receiving the awards. This is their opportunity to stand out and shine the spotlight on the public servants that are really toiling behind the scenes to deliver important contributions on our behalf every day.
Jim, any word about who specifically will appear at the May 8th town hall?
We are still working on our lineup of cabinet secretaries who will speak. We have several irons in the fire, but I think certainly with the political season, the presidential election season going on, getting their time on their calendars is very difficult. Last year, we were able to include 3 cabinet secretaries, including Secretary Sebelius from Health and Human Services, Secretary Donovan from Housing and Urban Development, and Secretary LaHood from Transportation. And so we're hoping for a similar turnout as we, you know, close a few circles these next 2 weeks and have that final lineup. As I mentioned, folks can visit the website now and sign up to register. They can register for that event. Again, visiting psrw.org, click on the events tab, and they'll see a link to a registration tab for the Public Service Town Hall. They can reserve their seat now, and we'll make sure they receive updates when we have our speakers confirmed in a week or two.
I'd like to talk about one other event that's going to be taking place during Public Service Recognition Week, and that's a reception on May 9th from 5:30 to 7 on Capitol Hill at the Capitol Visitor Center. It's being sponsored by the Coalition for Effective Change, which is an organization which is part of the Public Employees Roundtable, and also the Partnership for Public Service is a member of the Coalition for Effective Change, which consists of a group of about 30 management and professional associations that care very much about public employees. They're going to sponsor this event to honor 3 members of Congress, Senator Akaka from Hawaii, Congressman Frank Wolf from Virginia and Congressman Jerry Connolly from Virginia for their contributions to public servants and public service and all that they have done on behalf, in particular, on behalf of federal employees. So the Coalition for Effective Change will be presenting them with awards at that event. A lot of people have been invited to that. And we look forward to that. We look forward to hearing members of Congress say, as we know they will, good things about what most federal employees do every day on the job and how much they contribute to American society. And I would mention, while the event has been put together and organized and prepared by the Coalition for Effective Change, it is sponsored by our sponsor, GEICO, who's actually helping to make the event possible.
And you mentioned Senator Akaka earlier this week. He led six other senators in introducing the official proclamation, introducing the official resolution in Congress, in the Senate, designating Public Service Recognition Week for May 6th through 12th, and really, standing up with Senator Collins from Maine, Senator Levin from Michigan, Senator Lieberman from Connecticut, and a few others to really make sure that Congress is taking that time to salute our public servants at all levels.
Jim, are there any other events during Public Service Recognition Week that we should talk about?
Another one that isn't necessarily an official part of the week, but will be going on throughout the summer, and this is one where federal employees should be proud to show their badges. Thanks to GEICO, they've lined up some federal appreciation days with the Washington Nationals. And again, you can find out lots of good information by visiting the PSRW.org website and linking through to GEICO's federal appreciation page. Coming up tomorrow, actually, on Saturday, April 21st, the Washington Nationals game against the Miami Marlins. There's games coming up on Thursday, May 3rd and Thursday, May 17th, and many more throughout the summer. By using the special GEICO Gov discount code, federal employees and their friends and family members can sign up for, I think, up to 50% off some of the tickets. And then when they go to those select games, if they show their federal ID badge, then they're given even additional benefits of Nats bucks, I think, to buy concessions and an opportunity to meet the president to race the bases, and hopefully they can cheer on Teddy to win soon.
So, and I would point out that game April 21st, I'm not 100% sure, but I think Strasburg is up in the lineup for that game on Saturday, April 21st, for which federal employees can get a discount.
That would be another added benefit.
If that's true, you might just check the newspaper and make sure that that's the case, because obviously he's been a big draw for the Nationals.
And all those games are really a great opportunity for, colleagues in the federal agencies to build camaraderie. They can go out together with each other and with their family members. It doesn't cost anything to the agency, but really just an opportunity to plan a fun outing for employees and families together.
Okay. And then there is another event, I think, Jim, that's the Funniest Fed competition, something the partnership sponsored last year or got started, and GEICO now has kind of trying to take it to a new level.
The Funniest Fed is something that's been going on for a few years, and I'm trying to remember the woman's name. Naomi, I think, is the official organizer who's pulled that together, really just looking for a fun way to rally public servants together, federal employees together. That one actually involves executive federal branch employees as well as congressional staff. They're eligible to participate in that. And again, sponsored by GEICO to support that program and help identifying the 2012 Funniest Federal Employee. And they will have introductory rounds starting Wednesday, May 2nd, and then continuing throughout the month into the beginning and middle of June. They'll have their semifinals and finals showcased in June 13th and June 22nd out at the State Theater in Falls Church, Virginia. But again, this is just an opportunity for whether you work in a federal agency or on Capitol Hill or simply have friends in government, want to have a fun evening out to rally behind each other and give support and have a few laughs.
So the first Funniest Fed competition will be the evening of May 2nd. You can go to the NASPA event and get out in time. It's going to start that evening, like about 7 or 7:30, I think, at the State Theater, Falls Church, Virginia. Which is going to be a great place to go hear these very entertaining federal employees who are doing this on their own time. If they travel, they're traveling on their own dollar, and they're going to hopefully be able to make federal employees feel proud that they have some interesting people, not just people that perform great public service, but they can do some interesting things on their own personal time.
Yep, the program has appropriately gotten full review by the Office of Government Ethics to make sure that everyone's participation is legitimate and on the up and up.
And it's being done very transparently. It's being done this year also American Idol style. Every 2 weeks there will be a competition. They will be judged. Audience participation will be a factor. Audience evaluation, and then they will move on and through the month of May and June to the finals on June 22nd at the Lincoln Theater on U Street in Washington, where the final Funniest Fed will be determined, along with I think some other entertainment that evening. This should be quite a lot of fun for anyone that wants to follow that. It should be a great opportunity. Again, the Funniest Fed competition this year is being brought to you by Geico, who also brings you Fed Talk. And with that, we'll take our last break. We'll be right back when we hear this word from our sponsor. This is Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Geico's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from Geico. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact Geico today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This is the last part of the show. Again, you can call us and participate in this celebration of public employees. Our number is 1-877-936-9333. That's a toll-free number. Or you can email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Stuart, a little bit more about getting a federal job. I mean, the real challenge here, if you're on a college campus, if you're a senior, ready to graduate, or about to get your master's degree in public policy, public administration, public affairs, it seems like you might have a little pause in coming into the federal government. But and it's not just because of the publicity, but because of the complexity of how you get a federal job. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you're right. It is, you know, very complex. The Office of Personnel Management has a very robust hiring reform movement trying to make it easier for people to be able to apply and get hired, with eliminating KSA resumes, plain English job descriptions, which has helped the public overall. But students especially have a difficult time navigating through USA Jobs. Most of them, even though they have great skills and knowledge, don't have experience, and therefore they do not do very well in competition. These new recent graduates programs that are targeted just for students and people who've been out of school for 2 years, and then there's a special dispensation for veterans to give them extra time because of their service. These programs will be advertised both on USA Jobs and through agency websites targeted just for students. And students will compete with each other for these jobs.
Students and recent graduates.
Students and recent graduates, right.
And they won't compete with the rest of the public for those jobs?
Right. These jobs will be targeted just, you know, for students at these various levels. There will be some jobs for recent bachelor's graduates, some for master's, some for doctoral or JD.
So it seems to me to be very important to get the word out on this and how you do it, because that's going to encourage more people to apply. And because I know historically, the government, you know, used to have the PACE exam, then it had special hiring authority for a while, then it had the federal career intern program. So now it's pathways. And I think getting that word out is important, which
Absolutely.
Is why your event on May 2nd is so important.
Exactly. And well-timed with the imminent release of the final regulations for pathways. We will be doing a very large campaign to publicize both the regulations and individual programs as agencies create them, both internally to our membership and also on our website. We're also working with OPM, who we expect to have a very large publicity campaign about the programs to discuss them on campuses and have special events to highlight the programs for students and for recent graduates, using all kinds of social media. It's a great audience to get the word out through Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. So there's definitely going to be a huge effort to make sure that people know about these programs, especially in areas that traditionally have not sent a lot of students to federal jobs, rural schools, tribal schools, schools definitely far outside the Beltway.
So, Stuart, one of the things I've been hearing is that when idealistic young students graduate from their master's degree in public policy, public affairs, public administration, that they used to gravitate toward the federal government. Now a lot of them are gravitating toward nonprofits because they believe through the nonprofit community they can also serve. Are you seeing that, what are you doing to counter, or if anything, are you doing anything to counter that, to convince people to go to the federal, state, and local government for careers?
Well, we don't have a lot of hard data on that, but anecdotally, we've seen that there are an increasing number of graduates who are going into nonprofit or actually into contracting or consulting where they're working with federal agencies. But we haven't seen that there's any decline in interest in working for government. Actually, the partnership recently analyzed a survey that found that a much smaller percentage of students expected to be working, of college graduates, a smaller percentage of college graduates expected to be working in government after they graduated. But that could be just based on supply, the number of jobs that we're going to be out there. There's no indication that they are less interested in public service, and especially the government.
Yeah, the supply is not quite what it was a few years ago. Jim, there's some events outside the Beltway that I think are going on during Public Service Recognition Week, with federal executive boards and some other things like that. Can you talk about that?
Yes, and Kirk already touched a little bit on some of the events and activities that other members of the Public Employees Roundtable are organizing throughout the country. But as you say, the federal executive boards, if folks aren't familiar, are organizations based in the large metropolitan areas across the country that have a large percentage of federal government employees in those areas. Actually, I think more than 85% of the federal workforce is outside the Washington, D.C. area. And so the federal executive boards are a network of 28 of those organizations around significant populations of federal employees outside the D.C. area. And so those organizations likewise work together, work within their communities to host award ceremonies and luncheons. They want to, take time to celebrate the important contributions and achievements of the employees in those areas. From Albuquerque and Baltimore and San Francisco, we know of different awards programs and luncheons that will be going on, both to celebrate the military public servants as well as the civilian employees in those areas. And they do a great job of involving members of Congress. I know at the Baltimore Federal Executive Board, they have their luncheon on Friday, May 4th, and they will be involving Senators Barbara Mikulski and Ben Cardin in that program to help introduce their gold and silver award winners. And if you look out to San Francisco, the Federal Executive Board there, they're doing an awards program and luncheon involving a local radio station newscaster and San Francisco Board of Supervisors representative in their awards program. So really an opportunity to make sure that the different communities are working together to show that appreciation to the employees. And one other I want to mention, out at the Portland, Oregon Federal Executive Board, they're taking the opportunity of Federal Public Service Recognition Week on Thursday, May 10th. They'll be hosting a special training workshop where they can bring together managers and supervisors and team members, presentations to help boost employee performance and morale. So using this not only as an opportunity for recognition, but provide some training as well on how better to engage and motivate employees.
We have an email from Steve from the Department of Energy, which I think It gives us actually a segue to close out this show and to talk about how hard federal employees work and how much they contribute. Steve asks if the federal government can require him to travel to projects on federal holidays and also require him to work for up to 2 weeks at a time on the weekends without compensation. And the short answer to that question is, with the word require on the work without compensation, no, it can't require him to work without compensation. It can require him to travel on weekends. I mean, a lot of federal employees work on weekends and on federal holidays because things have to keep running. I mean, we can't close our airports, for example. But there is a kind of a basic rule that was litigated a few years ago where people who work a lot of overtime because it takes more than 40 hours a week to get the job done, and you get a project late on Friday afternoon and you got to have it finished by Monday morning, and there's no way to do that unless you work over the weekend, and you're being given the project, but you're not being required to come in. You're not being ordered to come in on the weekend. And what the courts have ruled is that you're not entitled to overtime in that circumstance, unless you're a Fair Labor Standards Act employee or you're part of a bargaining unit. And so you have this whole large group of employees who have that dedication where they work a lot of overtime, a lot of weekends, and they don't get paid for it. The whole senior executive service falls into that category. And if Steve from the Department of Energy is a senior executive, the answer is an unequivocal yes, that he can be required to work on weekends without compensation and to travel on federal holidays. Other employees, they might be encouraged to work on a weekend without compensation, but if the required comes in the form of a written order, then they have to be paid overtime. So I use that email to point out the large number of very, very dedicated, hardworking federal employees who I hope will appreciate the recognition they receive during Public Service Recognition Week. Jim, any closing comments about Public Service Recognition Week, and give us the website one more time?
Certainly. I'll start with the website, which is psrw.org. And there's many things on there. There's a celebration toolkit that folks can look at to learn about other ways that they can participate in Public Service Recognition Week, as well as the events tab that I mentioned with links to the different organizations for people to register for the things that they're interested in. I also want to take an opportunity to thank Federal News Radio for giving us the opportunity to get the word out about PSRW. I know that we'll be working with them throughout the summer for the Service to America medals. They're very good about running interviews and profiles about the finalists and making sure that those stories are shared throughout the year.
You know, one of the things we try to do in Fed Talk is to promote public service. So, Kirk, we have a few seconds left. Do you have any final words about this week's PSRW Public Employees Roundtable?
Yes, Bill, thank you. I just wanted to point out that this week is also Teacher Appreciation Week across the country, and people often forget that teachers are public employees as well as employees who work directly for the federal government and for state and local governments in other occupations. And next week, the week following Public Service Recognition Week is National Police Week, and policemen and all people associated with them are also public employees, and we shouldn't forget them as well.
Many thanks to Kirk Harper, Stuart Heiser, and Jim Seymour for being our guests on Fed Talk. That's all the time we have for today. Remember, Fed Talk is brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Have a great weekend.